Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody. Oh, I got to remember how to do this. There we go. It is March 31st, 2024. We are less than a week away from WrestleMania. Gigantic Pop, the three of us back together again. Raj Giri, Glenn Rubenstein, Matt Morgan, here to talk to you about where things stand on the road to WrestleMania. Exciting Raw this week. Epic segment with The Rock and Cody. That beatdown that continued after they went off the air.
Because it's a shoot, brother. No script.
That was the only thing I didn't like about it. Is the once you mention the word script, like, hey.
So this beatdown, this entire beatdown, Rock, until you said the word, I don't give a F about your script, was fake then?
Right, yeah, exactly.
I'm being nitpicky because I love that segment, by the way.
It was awesome. It was. I mean, I thought this last Raw was one of the best Raws that they've done in decades in a lot of ways. I mean,
wow,
easily the last 10 years.
It was.
Yeah, I thought it was awesome.
All the underneath stuff as well was good, I thought, too.
Yeah, and just all the promos. It wasn't just the Rock Cody stuff. It was Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch. I thought they just killed it. And
what a right hand by the man to Dom.
Did you see that in slow motion?
Of course.
She nailed him. Jeez.
Good for her. I thought it looked good. Nobody's going to be mad that you stiffed Dom.
Yeah, I'm sure Dom liked it too, because you know, and you get that, you get a little extra respect for taking a punch like
yes.
that.
Yes, good sport.
Yeah,
and then last night on SmackDown, Jade Cargill signed with SmackDown, and it looks like we're setting up Damage Control versus Jade, Naomi, and Bianca at Mania.
Yes, and I just hope fans don't think we're going to roll over because we're going to talk about it.
No, we'll talk about it all.
The CM Punk promo with Drew McIntyre and obviously Seth Rollins was fire. Yes, I was so excited to see Jade finally out there. God, does she look like a comic book hero or villain in real life? And a great, great introduction. She's still coming along in her promo, obviously. But they need to let her be her because she's got all that swag that you can't teach. She's got that confidence you can't teach. And they just need to let her go sometimes. And I'm excited about the upcoming match with her now at Mania.
Yeah. And I saw some criticism over her promo, and I feel like she doesn't have anything to say yet. It was her first appearance. She's not in a feud yet. So it makes sense. Yeah, I mean, what else is she going to do? So it makes sense. It was an introductory promo. Just let the fans know who she is, see her up close. And now, you know, once you're getting her in programs, and now with this WrestleMania match, you can have her start directing the promos.
More importantly, Glenn, can I give you a spoiler? Nobody is going to remember nor care about this promo. I will I'll make my argument right now, 2 months from now. Mm-hmm.
I will say there was one flaw at the end of that match. It was great when she came out and took on Damage Control single-handedly. But when she did her finisher and did it with the finishing move and the audience counted 1, 2, 3, I think it took away a little bit of the moment if we'd seen her. Because she's going to do that. I think that's going to be the close of the match at Mania when she gets the pin. That was
you think she should have won?
No. It was good when she won, but with Kari, because it was after the match and she was beating up Damage Control. And so she hit the sit out move on Kari, but then she held up her hand. The audience did the 1, 2, 3. That's my only note, because I think that should have been like revealed as her finisher at Mania.
Okay, I see. It's
minor.
It's subjective. I see what you're saying. But at the same time, that swagger, you can't keep tapped in. That's who she is. That's why she's going to make a lot of money as a heel one of these days, because she's got it in her. She's got that swag, that confidence, that arrogance, and she deserves to have every single ounce of that arrogance, in my opinion.
Yeah, she's awesome. And I actually liked her hitting that finisher because she did that lick in her hand thing. And that,
love
like, that clip was just like going all over the place.
I just wanted that to debut.
You wanted
Mania,
to wait for Mania. I hear you.
Yeah. That's all.
That's her. Dude, so like that's her Jordan Jumpman logo, dude.
Yeah.
Her licking her hand in the pinning predicament.
That was so cool. Like watching it, it was just like, that's a superstar. You know, she is just going to be, you know, if she can, hopefully they get her working house shows soon and doing the loops and getting more and more experience.
She will. She's going to have a ton of people around her helping her. She did have a lot of good help at AEW when she was there. Mm-hmm. Lots of people worked with her. But same with WWE. They have even more. More talent, more veterans with even more experience that are going to be working with her.
Yeah.
Yeah, and shout out to whoever in legal figured out that legally they can say the Storm is here, and that's okay. They're not violating any trademarks. Mm,
but I don't know how I never made that connection before, by the way. How did I never make that connection? I'm a comic book fan. How have I never made that connection?
Yeah. But it was cool. It was cool. It was very cool last night. There were some good moments. I was watching the recap today. I didn't watch wrestling. I didn't watch anything when I was at. No NXT, no Raw, no SmackDown. I heard about it all online. So watched the clips. And yeah, I'm hyped, man. I mean, here we go. Like, WrestleMania will be here before we know it in a blink of an eye.
It definitely was. What do you guys want to get to first? Because we have I have so much I want to say.
Okay, Matt, what are you most excited to talk about, dude? Go for it.
So do we agree? Let's cover The Rock and Cody finish at Raw.
Yeah, should we do the
including the promo,
the WrestleMania picks at the end, and do all the other stuff now, like the Rock promo and maybe the Tony Khan stuff. It's been a hell of a week.
Yeah. Let's do it that way, Raj. Yeah.
Yeah, let's start with The Rock and Cody. Matt, what are you thinking?
So, first of all, the setup of that was awesome. I love, what am I begging for weeks now? Rock, the only way you're going to get any legitimate heat is for you to taketh awayeth all the cool stuff you say and all the cool things you do. And by him coming out to the ring, fans popped huge when his music hit. When Cody's in the ring, Cody's cutting his promo. Susie mentions Final Boss, The Rock, boom, Rock's music hits. He's got the nice, cool remix. Coolest music ever, by the way, this new remix they're using, which is a mishmash of two of his songs of the past, right? It was Zench's music. Comes out looking jacked up as always. Fans are just going bananas for him, throwing babies in the air, the whole nine, right? They're going bananas. And he comes out to the ring, doesn't say a single word. Starts to get out of the ring, and the fans boo the piss out of him. Just like that, on a dime, they went from, again, throwing babies in the air to now booing him and hating him. What a jerk. Come on, we want to hear you talk, Ish. Let's go. And he didn't do it. He's whispered something to Cody's ear and got out of that ring. The fans booed. And I was so happy. I was like, so much was said by not saying anything. Now you're a jerk. Now you're a villain. Finally, you put Cody in a place where he could be cheered over you, finally. And all that was taketh awayeth again toward the end of the night when The Rock beat the holy bejesus out of Cody, throwing him into his bus. And if I was a Rock, oh my God, the fact that Cody has his dog on the side of his tour bus painted there, by the way, he has the most beautiful dog in America. And I love my dog, by the way, but that dog's eyes are just something on a whole different level. I love his dog, but I'm not putting it on the side of my tour bus. If I was Rock, I'd be like, what the hell is this dog on your bus? Dusty, are you watching this? Is this really your kid right here? This can't be your kid right here. He cannot be related to you. That other one I can see, not this one. You know what I mean? Like, and pulling Dusty into it that way, maybe. But, oh my God, there were so many easy targets he could have picked apart with that tour bus and further bury Cody. But Cody took a great ass whipping, like a good baby face should, coming from underneath, right? You need sympathy in the baby face. We've got that now. Putting the belt, taking his belt out again, like he's promised. He's going to put Cody's blood on it. The rain to the scene added immensely to it, in my opinion. The whole scene was frigging epic. And that's not an understatement. People use that term all the time. It was a great segment. Here's my only fear, okay? My only fear, once again, and this happened when he had a program versus Cena. When everyone started booing Cena again heavily, it was because John wasn't the cool one in the room anymore. This Rock guy was, who was making fun of John all the time, right, in these promos and clowning what he wore and all this other stuff, and it worked. And I'm just worried because with this promos Cody is cutting, he's so educated. He's so well, he's so well articulated, right? But these are not the promos that he needs to continue to be well articulated. He needs to get grimy. He needs to get down in the dirt. I don't know what thing, but it's got to be aggressive is all I know. Yeah. And he's missing that gear in these promos, in my opinion. I'm just being really nitpicky as the world's largest admitted Cody crybaby. But I just... The Rock's got to be more responsible, in my opinion here. And that's being very nitpicky of someone who's very entertained by that. I thought that was the coolest segment ever. But I'm a Rock mark at heart, too.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know what to make of it. I just know that Cody's got to be very careful with these polished promos because he got in trouble with this at AEW where the fans did turn on him, if you guys remember. Now, yeah. One can argue he added his wife to the equation and all those other things were different. He'd bring 40 people to the ring with him, including his dog. There was lots of reasons, Matt, why he was considered a corny babyface in AEW for them to boo him. He needs to be careful here. He needs to be very, very careful here because he's in a promo with a guy that is teaching master's class in promos and The Rock, the greatest of all time in promos, in my opinion. And he looks cooler. He seems cooler. He talks ish cooler. Everything he does is cooler. So one of the two things need to happen. Rock's got to tone it down a little bit. And Cody's got to step up much, much more and go to a gear, a level of his character, that onion I keep talking about with character development. Each character is supposed to have layered components of that character that we're supposed to see when they're lined up against certain opponents that bring something maybe different out of them, right? Rock's giving him a lot to pull from to give us this different part of his persona, that grimy, pissed off, F you, blah, you know what I mean? Type of attitude we need to see from Cody. We need to see some attitude.
Yeah. I love, first of all, with Kevin Dunn gone, I've just noticed how much better the
shots
is of the show. Yeah. Amazing. And when The Rock came out and you had that lightning and you had The Rock staring at, I mean, it looked like a movie. It was amazing.
It did. He looked like a superhero.
Yeah. And I like that they didn't advertise Rock for the show because for the live fans too, you know, if they're paying their ticket to see The Rock and then he doesn't cut a promo or do anything, I could see them being disappointed. This way, well, it's a surprise. Yeah. It's a cool ass moment. I loved it. And Matt, about The Rock bringing it down or Cody bringing it up, I agree 100%. Cody needs to cut a passionate, fiery promo this Monday. But I think The Rock should not bring it down. I was thinking about this. You know, like when Pacino's in a scene with a bunch of actors, and if they're not keeping up, he's not like, oh, I'm going to, you know, like try to calm down a little bit or bring it down. They have to bring it up. And it's on the talent. So
do you think, though, real quick, we'll go back to what you're saying, but I just want to ask you one quick question. You said you thought it was smart not to advertise it. Well, knowing that he's not advertised, they know he was going to get a monster pop. The surprise pop added on top of it's the Rock pop.
Yeah.
Like, are you really setting up your baby face for success doing that?
But he turned it around and, you know,
by not talking,
he turned around quick. And by the end, they're chanting Rocky sucks and booing him out. So it was really well done. I mean, they read that audience. They knew how they were going to react. It was all there were a few things this week, even with Carlito on SmackDown, which we'll talk about. But did like that subtle thing where he wasn't picked and they picked Dragon Lee and Carlito. It wasn't like Sid Justice ripping up the papers, you know, at WrestleMania 8, you know, like an over the top getting pissed that he wasn't picked. It was very subtle. And I just liked how it's something not done in wrestling very often, subtlety. And you know,
true.
I like that.
Yeah. But hold on, I'm not much of a conspiracy theorist, but Raj, a week ago on this very podcast, we said The Rock wasn't on SmackDown Friday. It was weird. You're like, oh, he's showing up Monday. You blurted that out without even thinking. No, and then in the chat, everyone was like, he's not announced for Monday, and then he showed up Monday.
Oh, yeah. That is right.
That was a fortunate accident, but I'll just say it was on purpose just to sound cool.
Raj has connections. Dwayne's text Raj all the time.
I was just gonna say, is that your main source?
Yeah, I'm like, Rock's DMing me.
I knew it.
Hey, don't tell anyone, but
trying to put himself over, being like, you know, they got big plans for the Rock at WrestleMania. Yeah. No, I think here's what's interesting about this. This is why I'm now of the belief that The Rock doesn't cost Roman the match. It's too weird now for The Rock to go down this path. The Rock helping Cody 7 days from now, seems
no.
Yeah, like an asinine. Everyone was predicting that though. Oh, The Rock's going to help Cody win.
No. It still will be Roman versus Rock eventually, in my opinion. Maybe we get Cody versus Rock at SummerSlam when Cody's the champ. I don't know, but I just know I'm for the ride. I love everything they're doing right now.
And Rock's going to be gone for a few months. I think starting in May, he's filming the new Mark Kerr movie. So the biopic. So
is he in it?
A little bit. Yeah, he's playing Mark Kerr.
The Rock is playing Mark Kerr.
Yep.
How are they? He looks nothing like him.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of those where.
That's good for Mark Kerr. Mark Kerr is going to have the world's most famous person alive playing him. Wow.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
A couple super chats before we get on to the next topic. Robert Rose, $5, saying today's the real 39-year anniversary of WrestleMania, March 31st, 1985. Also, 25th anniversary of The Matrix today, by the way.
Robert Rose, what does 69,000 mean?
Maybe the number of subscribers he has.
Maybe.
So send some of those our way.
Send some our way, brother.
Yeah, please.
We're almost at 3,000. We've been like stuck right under 3,000 for like a week. So please
subscribe right now.
Well, please take a second. So next weekend, so everybody knows the schedule, and we'll repeat this at the end. We're covering Stand and Deliver immediately after that goes off the air. WrestleMania Night 1 immediately after that goes off the air. WrestleMania Night 2 immediately after goes off the air. The three of us together again, talking about what we all just watched, but right after.
Yep.
And we'll discuss, maybe we'll discuss this off air, but I don't, maybe tomorrow night we'll see, you know,
we'll see what happens.
There's that CM Punk interview with Ariel Helwani happening.
Oh yeah.
As well. So that should be interesting. He's saying anything goes. So.
Bear Hudson, $5, saying there are rumblings. Oh, somebody's rumbling that Theory and Waller could be removed from WrestleMania and replaced with the Motor City Machine Guns or Hardy Boys. I mean, it's a six-man tag. Remember when the Hardy Boys came back last time? They just added another team to the match. It wasn't that big of a deal.
The fans lost their mind. What do you mean?
I know. No, I'm saying adding it. Like, you don't have to remove Theory and Waller. You could just say there's a fourth team.
Well, real quick, the Hardy Boys, Jeff Hardy's still under contract with AEW for a couple more years, so that's not happening.
I would kill for my MC MG come. Oh, my God.
I mean, the Motor City Machine Guns are great. But do you think that audience, I guess if they did it like maybe on SmackDown, if they did something on SmackDown to take out the Waller and put the Motor City Machine Guns in, but they're not well known to that WWE.
No, they're not.
It's like the Hardys were, right?
I 100% agree with that. I just friends with both and would love to see them finally get there and stay there.
Yeah. And they could do it. I mean, it's just because they don't get a pop coming out, they could impress so much during the match that, you know, they get one by the end. So,
yeah,
I mean, who knows? But it's definitely not the Hardys.
Who's in that tag match, guys, real quick? That six man or that six way,
or whatever it's called. Judgment Day, Waller and Theory, and Awesome Truth. Are they the other team?
Okay, so like, I don't care. Okay, so I don't care about that tag team match. All right, so I would like to see Motor City get out of it.
I don't care about that match.
Yeah, if someone in the chat can put in all the teams.
And New Catch Republic, also a part, and the New Day. Wait, so yeah, it's a six team and New DIY. Day. Man, there's so many people in this match.
Okay, there we go. Yeah, so it's going to be a cluster. You got 12 guys in this match. But it was a way to get a bunch of people on the card.
Sure.
And we'll talk about the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. I don't get why they're not doing it on the pre-show. But they're doing it on the fourth year in a row. They're doing it on SmackDown. I just don't get it.
Me either.
They're having a two-hour kickoff show.
Yeah. Paris Gala with a super chat is saying, honest opinion, do you think Cody should win the title, Matt?
Absolutely. Yes. I will be irate if he doesn't. I'll be heartbroken if he doesn't.
100%. It would be like if Rocky lost in Rocky 2. You don't. He has to win this time. Otherwise, I just think it didn't hurt him last year. If anything, it probably helped him when he lost. But this year, it would hurt him.
I don't know. It would be pretty surprising if he lost.
It would be. That would be the surprise result.
Glenn low-key wants him to lose.
Kind of low-key wants him to lose.
Him and Issa love their Roman Reigns.
I don't even love Roman. I just think that, like, I want something unpredictable, you know? And
the guy holding on the strap for a fourth year is not predictable?
No, but you know what? Okay, you know what I want? I want Rollins to come out and cost Cody the title on night two, because that would be an amazing moment.
No, Punk's got to come beat him up.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Matt, what about this? What about MJF shows up?
Oh, then what?
And cost Cody the title. Cost Cody the title.
MJF's under contract with AEW.
I think.
I mean, not okay, according to him.
That would be my only way I'd ever be semi okay of Cody not winning the title Mania. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's how much I love MJF.
Marie Johnson, $5, saying, I'm not a big fan of WWE, but as a black woman, I love that end visual SmackDown. I need it on a t-shirt. That was instantly awesome. Iconic with Jade, Bianca, Naomi standing together.
And the three of them just look like super athletes, you know? Like,
yeah.
They're like the most athletic women like in the company.
But unlike WWE in the past, they all have very distinctual differences about the three of them. And we all know them. We know them all right away. Jade just got reintroduced again, by the way. But yet, they're all so different.
Yeah. Yes.
And so they all look like larger than life superstars. It's not
big time. Big time.
Thank you, everyone, for the super chats. Please keep them coming.
That was a cool comment. Thanks for sharing that comment. That was cool. Yeah,
that's awesome, Maria.
And it shows how far wrestling in general has come.
I know. Issues like that. Yeah, what do we want to talk about next?
Punk, Seth,
Punk and Drew.
Drew. Oh, Drew. Drew's becoming my low key drug. He is so freaking fun to watch and follow on Twitter. And what he did in his promo here, by the way.
He's my favorite. He's my favorite wrestler on Raw right now to watch.
Really?
I don't blame
him. On Raw. You know, overall, The Rock is just on another level right now. But Drew is just. He's doing the best work of his career right now. He's just
definitely fantastic.
And that segment, I heard on some podcast they were complaining that it went too long. It's like it was awesome. Like I'm not sitting there looking at my clock, being like, oh, this is running too long. Let's move on. It had me from beginning to end, and you could tell like they had the freedom in that promo because
they were stepping on each other.
Yeah, they were stepping on each other, which made it seem more natural.
It did. People will tell you, so when you watch an overly rehearsed promo, it's always right back and forth, volleying with a tennis ball, right? That's not in real life how ish talking would really go. Okay. Right. You would step on one another. For example, when Seth goes, you want to hear what I think? Please tell me that's become a meme. That has to become a meme, right? Because that's tremendous. You can put that to anything that you know, somebody makes this huge announcement you don't really care about. You can put in the reply section that clip right there. You want to hear what I think? No. So like that wasn't rehearsed. Punk's reaction when he came out to the ring and Punk just hits himself in the head with the microphone when Seth's music hits.
Right. Or that Drew. Chosen one line.
Oh, yeah. Yes. That was money. And Drew, like, telling, hey, pervert, don't look up my skirt. Yeah, like, my coat. He was, they were all so, I thought it was very well done, especially for three guys that don't like one another, or especially the two of them that don't like Punk, if that's how it is in real life. Mm-hmm. It showed here, and it showed in a way how to make money. Like, it didn't get so clunky where it didn't do what its intended purpose was to do. Have Punk come out to his hometown, give Chicago a reward by having their hometown boy come out. That's number one. That was the point of that, right? At the beginning. Then also, how do we advertise that Punk will be a part of WrestleMania somehow? He can't wrestle. He's effed up with his arm. How do we tell the story? He's going to be a part of this. So like it or not, Punk is a part of that storyline between Seth and Drew. I do like that a lot. And just again, this promo was fantastic. And I thought they all shined. Yeah. I do. I think all three shined.
And I think one thing that really makes it great too is that you can't, you know, it's like Bret and Shawn, where you can't tell where the reality stops and the fiction is in. Like, you just get the feeling they really do not like each other. And for all we know, they could have made amends months ago and they're, you know, completely have. But yeah, but you don't get that sense. You really feel like there's a lot of reality in what they're saying and they're really getting pissed. You know, CM Punk made that line about Becky Lynch and you could tell Rollins, looked like he got really miffed. And I just think that stuff, I like it when you can't tell where the fiction starts and the reality ends. It's a lost art.
I agree. Glenn, what did you think of that segment?
No, I remember reading the recap and seeing the clips online. I mean, I like that they're trying to still keep it kind of ambiguous how real this is and blur the lines. And I think that's always good. CM Punk on commentary. I mean, look, if he's got downtime, this is a good way to use him. I think that it leaves the door open for him to hop right back into it with Seth or Drew. So this is perfect. I mean, it's crazy. Think about Harris with the super chat says Punk's injury is a blessing in disguise. The Rollins and two feuds at once, the whole McIntyre character arc. I mean,
yeah.
It's kind of crazy to think about the reality we were going to see otherwise.
And Harris Gallo's right. Look what it ended up turning into. So I do think it was a blessing in disguise. I do. And by the way, Drew's line of for a guy that calls himself straight edge, you spend a lot of time in rehab, was awesome. Oh my God. I kept rewinding it because I thought that was awesome.
I mean, in the grand history of things, you might even make an argument that if the injury hadn't happened and McIntyre hadn't been elevated to this match, now it's a lock that Drew re-signs with WWE. If Punk had had that match with Rollins and Drew was sidelined to something lesser, maybe he would have gotten the Gunther match, but it's interesting. I think this is his next level opportunity.
Or they would have made it a three-way.
Well, maybe.
Yeah, they could have.
They could have.
But yeah, Drew still hasn't re-signed. At least that's what he's saying, and that's the belief. And I just don't think you put the title on him until he has. Until there's
of course you don't. So of course you do not sign him until he signed. Yes.
But that's the one thing I'd love to see at Mania is Drew winning that title. So
me too. You know, I wasn't there in the beginning. I was not there. I am now.
Same here. He's really turned it up the last few months. He just went from a one-dimensional babyface character and turning heel has just been the best thing for him. And this current heel run is so different from that Scottish psychopath gimmick that he was doing. And he's just killing it.
But again, all parties here knocked it out of the ballpark. They did kind of set them up for a little failure there when they asked the fans. They pulled the fans and the fans were chanting, referee, referee. That was awesome.
Yeah.
But again, it shows that blurred line of this is reality here. This isn't like planned storyline-ish. Uh-huh. They're really swinging for the fences and letting them do it. But here's the difference. In AEW, I hate to always make the comparison, but I know that's what everybody's thinking because he was there and Phil was there in AEW last. And we wanted to see it work where they could have made all the parties come together and work a shoot together somehow. And make all of them make money, right? It would have made major. That would have been something that could have potentially moved the needle for them. Mm-hmm. It could have, in my opinion. So here's an example of how WWE does things better. I'm not trying to be a jerk here either, or anti-AEW. Oh, you hate AEW? No, I don't. But it's proof. You know what I mean? Unless I get proven wrong, and there's a fight backstage with CM Punk with one arm, you know, clotheslining everybody's heads off with his good arm, you know, then I'll be wrong. But that's not happened, and they're taking these realities and real feelings, and they're letting them go out there. But if you notice, there's to a certain limit they'll let them go, right? Mm-hmm. Again, with the Vince, by not saying Vince, right? In certain other elements, it just feels a little bit more, even though it's shoot, it does feel a little bit more safely structured, where these two are not people are not throwing grenades on one another, where they're taking it to heart in real life. But we're taking it to heart in real life that they're taking it to heart, if that makes sense, which is the point of a promo when you're throwing barbs at one another like that. Is get the fans that are fans of that guy you threw a barb at to either hate you, be pissed about it, and want to see their guy kick your butt now for saying it, right? It's supposed to make us emotionally invest at the end of the day. And everyone was emotionally invested. And that 2.2 rating that it got proves that it did just that across the
2.2 million, yeah. Biggest quarter, it was tied with a quarter, the Cody Seth Rollins quarter after the Rumble, which, you know, the post Rumble is always one of the biggest shows of the year, but it did 2.2 million. So one of the biggest quarters they've done in years.
So with that. Wait a minute. I thought the big quarter hour rating for Cody recently was one where he was right under 2 million, I believe, a couple weeks ago, maybe.
Yeah, it was like it was a little over 2, I think.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah. But 2.2 is the biggest that they've done, you know, in a long time, probably since last year's post-Mania Raw. So huge success, you know, and when people talk about, oh, there's too much talking, look at what that did and look at where the interest was. So
yeah.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Yep.
A couple super chats as we move along here. Let's see what we got. Fun times with games. Buck 99 says, if Cody don't win, he's the ultimate politician.
No. That means he's the worst politician. A good politician would know how to manipulate everybody backstage and make sure he wins that damn thing.
unless fun times means Roman's the ultimate politician.
But oh.
It reads like he's saying Cody, but... I don't know. Okay. I don't think Roman cares that much about wins and losses. He never did before. I just think, look, you know, it wasn't that long ago. Everyone was saying he should have lost to Drew, you know, over Clash at the Castle. And then he should have lost to Sammy and all these.
I said that too.
Stand by that.
But I think, you know, by not doing that, you see those were the right decisions to have. Roman hold on.
They definitely were. You got to give Triple H his props.
But I think that's why we've come this far. Him holding on past Mania, like,
don't say it.
It's just a little bit more.
Don't say it. Okay, good. That's just fine to say that. Just don't say just the fake record. That's not a real record because he's not beating Bruno.
I mean, Bruno was territorial, though, not.
There we go. Prisoner of the moment. There we go.
I mean, there's a difference between, I mean, like, what was Gorgeous George's record? Like, the wrestling back then was different. You could go from city to city. Matt, you could go from city to city. It was like house shows. You could do the same match for a year.
Yes.
And nobody would get sick of it because nobody had seen it before between right. Arkansas and Arizona, you know?
Sure. At the end of the day, there's this imaginary record book, right? Let's open the record book, right? Page one, Bruno San Martino. Longest reigning champion of all time. It doesn't, there's no asterisk. Like when you start throwing asterisks in there, again, it's about fans of today's today's fans of today's sports. Again, mm-hmm. LeBron Michael argument, I'll put in there. Mm-hmm. We'll start to, you know, put in an asterisk of why LeBron's better than Michael when they're now changing the whole conversation. Because the conversation always was rings, right? Magic is the one that started it. That conversation of how to judge who's the best of all time. Mm. And it took Mike to hit that sixth ring where he could tell Magic and Larry, like, this is my league now. Good job, old man. There's the door. I'll give you the reverse. LeBron because he does not have six rings and he ain't going to get six rings. And I'll give you the reverse.
20 years ago, 25 years ago, if you had a platinum album, you sold a million records. A million people went out there and bought with their hard-earned money.
Yes.
An actual object to add to the collection. Now it's all streams, downloads.
Okay.
Now getting a million, now getting a platinum doesn't mean as much.
So let me ask this.
Yeah.
Where was these arguments with this sweet little moving the goalpost asterisk of today's fans that want their guide from today's day and age to be better than the past? Heroes of our past. Where was it when Cena was champion? Where was it when Batista was champion? When was 5 years ago? Why wasn't this argument made 5 years ago?
Well, because no one got this close. You know, no one's ever going to beat Bruno.
I mean, Punk was the only one to go longer than a year, right? Since the century.
And by the way, Matt, if somebody beats Bruno, could you imagine?
Oh, God, that'll never happen.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why Hogan's the only record that can be broken that's left on there.
Well, it has to be broken.
How long's Backlund?
Backlund's 2.
2000.
So Bruno's is one. What's his name's is two. You just said it.
Backlund.
Backlund's two, and then Hogan's is three. So
Backlund was 6 years. There's no way that Roman's reign goes 6 years either.
Yeah.
And Hogan's number three for longest reign. So, but why does it have to be broken? See, I don't. I like to see records broken sometimes, but other times, I guess I don't. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not going past Hogan's record if they do. But, yeah, I just think that's a silly reason to make any booking decisions. It's just that,
sure.
that the record. But if it's best in storyline, if they got something big planned, like if they got Rock versus Cody coming up, then I could see the case for Roman mm-hmm. retaining. But, again, Rock said Cody's not getting another title shot. If he loses. I feel like they put themselves in a corner where...
No, but then The Rock says, if you beat me, that's your one chance. And then Cody beats The Rock. Then Cody goes on to beat Roman. Like, that's a hell of a story.
I don't think you can have Cody beat The Rock. Because if you're eventually getting to The Rock and Roman Reigns, which I think they are, I just don't think you can have The Rock lose.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Drew Davidian, $9.99. Thank you. Gigantic pop. I think Roman and The Rock wins this Saturday for the tag, and Cody wins Sunday because of the Avengers' revenge on Roman Reigns, aka Thanos. Someone said an ex Rock helps Cody. Cody needs to win this for himself. At the end of Rocky, it wasn't because
Hulk, the incredible Hulk came to the ring, and
it wasn't because Paulie like slipped him the brass knuckles or like threw a banana peel for Apollo to slip on, you know.
No, but there's going to be a lot of because you've got to think whoever wins the tag match, the other guys are winning the next night. So if Rock and Roman win night one, Cody's winning night two, and if you're doing that, Rock and Roman win night one, which I think most people are predicting that's what's going to happen. Mm. That means there's going to be tons of a fuckery, you know, in that main event.
I know.
Because it's bloodline rules. So you got to have other people helping Cody out at some point. You know, Stone Cold, they've been talking to him for a Mania appearance. Cena, I've got to think there's going to be a big surprise in that main event.
Glass break.
Rock and Austin fight to, you know, they have a stare down, fight to the back, they're gone.
Bro.
I wouldn't have Austin take Rock out, but I'd have them fight each other to the back.
I'll take just the music, just hit the glass hitting. I will lose my mind.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what's going to signal unpredictability. I mean, because I agree, like, that's what we're all thinking. But if for some reason Cody and Seth win on Saturday,
mm-hmm.
I think people are going to be very nervous about Sunday.
Yeah. What's gonna happen. Sure.
Yes. Yes.
You know, T. Smitty, $3,005 super chat saying, had to sell my Mania tickets because Alabama made the Final Four. I live in Phoenix. Couldn't pass up this opportunity since it's here. Roll Tide.
Can I just make for fans out there going, T. Smitty, what are you doing? This is the best Mania of all time. Let me make this argument on T. Smitty's behalf. Alabama has, I know they're in the Final Four, they have still the most underrated team in college basketball. I'm dead serious. This team is super talented, super good, and they have a legit chance, in my humble opinion, of pulling this off. I think UConn won the national championship. That's my team. But this team right here could do it, like Alabama. So, like, his favorite, grew up a lifelong fan, right, of Roll Tide in Alabama, right? So it's very rare that they make it to the Final Four in men's basketball.
Yeah.
Even when they had Antonio McDice back in the day. Still, this is huge, and they do have a legit chance to win a national championship. So if that's your hometown team for life, this makes sense, T. Smith.
Oh yeah, I was just staying in the hotel in L.A. right near Crypto, so some of my employees went. They got to go to Crimson against the Tar Heels on Thursday. So it was a phenomenal game. I kind of wish.
Oh really?
Yeah. But that's where we were. So it was funny.
Big
we were at a
big upset.
We were at a podcast conference, but then you just see all these tall people in tracksuits walking through. So that's where all the players were staying as well. But no, it's exciting and. I get it. Sometimes you got to make these tough decisions. You know, Friday, I could have stayed home and watched SmackDown, but Charo was in Las Vegas. So I'm going to see that Friday, the night before WrestleMania.
Gigantic Pops, you Gigantic Pop fans, you'll only hear this here on this podcast.
Skipping a show of WrestleMania weekend for Charo.
I mean, she's not going to be around them. Yeah, she's not going to be around them much longer, Raj. You got to. Take your chances. Thanks. You know, Harris saying who inducts Heyman at the Hall of Fame, Roman or Punk?
I don't think either. Right. Don't you think it's an ECW original?
It's WWE. Well, if it was Vince, I think it would be Roman. But yeah. Now that Vince is no longer there, I think they probably, if Paul Heyman had to pick, I mean, who would you have? Rob Van Dam? I mean, I don't know. I would say I Punk. I'm probably going to go Punk.
Yeah, and RVD is about to do that AEW date.
Right, but WWE, they seem a lot more lax with, I mean, like, look, the final episode of Rivals, and granted, that's A&E, but yeah. It's Daniel Bryan and The Miz, so.
Yeah.
True. And then, we'll see. I don't know my prediction. I really don't. Sorry.
And then Harris also wants to know what happens to Roman after he loses the title?
Raj, does he have to take time off, do we know, for any reason?
He's got his lax schedule, you know, as it is. So I'm sure he was going to probably be gone till the Saudi Arabia show anyway.
So something has to break either at Mania or the first night after Mania. The biggest Raw of the year is always the night after Mania, right? Hmm. Something's got to give between him and Rock here, in my opinion. Am I saying Rock costs Roman or helps Cody win or something like that? But maybe the next night something kicks off. I think they go, but then, I think there's a three-way storyline, layered storyline between Cody, Roman, and Rock still. I do.
Yeah, I definitely don't think it's over with Roman and Cody just after Cody wins. So
yeah,
I mean, we shall see. Ebony Washington, $5, saying, "Hey guys, do you think there's a chance Priest cashes in on Seth? He's still carrying around that briefcase."
I keep forgetting too.
I think if Drew doesn't resign, that would be my most logical ending: is that Seth wins and then Damian Priest cashes in.
Good call. If he doesn't resign, that's a great alternative, actually.
Yeah, because I think Seth just winning would be kind of boring. So I think Seth wins, and then The Rock comes out. Maybe The Rock comes out and says, "You know how I said that you're not going to be the world champion?"
Oh,
and then boom, Damian Priest music hits, and he cashes in.
Ooh, that's actually really good, Raj.
Ah, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. That is really good.
Because he's texting with Dwayne, so that's why he knows, you know, what the plan is. He's presenting his what if. That way it seems like, oh my God, Rush was coincidentally right. So here's the deal. I just looked at. We're at 2,984 subscribers. We have watching us right now over 200 people on YouTube. Please, if you have not subscribed to Gigantic Pop yet, let's try and break 3,000.
If we could do that during this episode, man, that'd be awesome. So help us out, guys.
Thank you. No, we appreciate all the support, all the super chats. The super chats keep coming in. I got two more super chats here. Fun Times with Games wants to know one thing about this Bloodline versus Cody storyline. I have to ask, why do they have Jay only around Cody when The Rock isn't? Shouldn't The Rock question Jay?
I don't think you want to start getting that storyline confused. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like just keep it to where it is right now. You know, adding Jay and The Rock and mistrust, I just think muddies the waters a little bit when you don't need to.
But you could have Solo standing around in the background not saying anything. I mean, that enhances any scene.
Yeah.
You know, Zamganda Chonko asking, what do you think Braun Breaker does post-Mania on SmackDown? Oof. Matt, thoughts on how Orton's protecting himself in the ring by not bumping, or his work since he's been back?
We lost Matt. He'll be there.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
I'm not on screen. This doesn't show me on my screen. If you guys can see me, hear me. Anyways, who cares? I think he's doing exactly what he should be doing, coming back after post back surgery, and being smart about it. And who knows what they're going to do with Braun Breaker? But they got to strap the rocket on him. Is all I know.
I think Braun Breaker wins that Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Easily.
Yeah. Maybe eliminates Omos, you know, eliminates Omos to win that.
He needs more though than that, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. He needs that to start propelling. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if they were not expecting how well he and Corbin are being received in NXT, and that kind of delayed some things in this transition for him to the main roster.
And correction, Bron Breakker is not in that battle royal. So never
really
ignore that.
No, just kidding.
I mean, why not just add him to the tag match? Everyone else is in it. We got to break up these tag team belts. This is now silly that there's one.
You don't have enough strong tag teams, though, like drawing tag teams to do that.
I mean, what, the Authors of Pain and the Final Testament aren't going to bring in the numbers? That was mean. I'm sorry.
That was mean. They might be listening right now.
Very rude of you, Glenn.
Karrion Kross, please cut your hair. It's like he's got a curse on him. When he cuts his hair, everything will go back to being good.
Shave his head. He looks shave way more. Head. Yeah, he looks way more intimidating. Yeah,
so much better with a shaved head.
He looks just like a guy. Like, actually, looks kind of like a, you know, like almost like if he was wearing a suit, he'd look like a businessman. So I don't know.
Cody? Would he look like Cody?
Yeah, exactly.
No, he looks like. I feel like I'm being mean, but he looks like he's like selling insurance or something. Like, it's just, he looks like a normal dude who does MMA on the weekends.
Yeah.
You know,
thanks so much for these super chats, guys.
Matt, that's why you just need to have a one-on-one with him.
I would never say it seriously. I said it in joking, but let me ask a question real quick. Can you guys really see me? Because on my screen, I'm in backstage.
Yeah. It's a little blurry, but we can see it.
I'll take you off and put you back on. Let's see what that does.
It's very weird.
There we go. Now, do you see yourself?
Unfortunately, I do. Yes.
No, these super chats keep going. And by the way, we haven't said this as well. All through today, everything super chat goes to Rain, the charity for survivors of sexual assault. We're doing that donation every super chat to date, and then we will announce our Q2 charity, I guess, next weekend, where we'll be donating all our super chats for Q2. Sip all the coffees, $5, saying Mania will be the first on Netflix. Mania 41 will be the first on Netflix. Roman Rock and Rhea, Bianca, or Jade make sense for that one.
That's not true, though.
Because Peacock.
It's going to remain on Peacock until that deal is done. That still has a couple more years. So Raw will be on Netflix, and around the world, SmackDown will be as well. But the pay-per-views will for people around the world, but not in the U.S. In the U.S., it's going to remain on Peacock for a couple more years until that deal is done.
And Harris with another super chat saying, controversial, but Austin and Cena coming out would be overkilling the main event, don't you think? Too many characters and Rhodes' victory could be diminished.
I mean, it's not a bad argument, but at the same time, who knows? Like, I'm just along for the ride and I'm down with whatever they got. Just as long as Cody wins. I don't care how it happens at this point.
With Austin, Cena, and Hogan, you could always do something like they did before WrestleMania 30, where they had The Rock, Steve Austin, and Hogan just doing, you know, a little segment in the ring, just to, you know, just a little feel-good segment, and then that was it. So you could always just do that. But, you know, if it's Bloodline rules, you know automatically there's going to be a lot of outside interference. So
Rikishi's showing up.
I think that'd be...
Kishi should show up for that Jay and Jimmy match, in my opinion. That'd be awesome.
That'd be cool. Yeah, he still hasn't showed up for anything during the Bloodline, right?
Nope.
The Bloodline
needs to.
Storyline started.
He needs to. He can add to it.
Yeah. A lot of names on that family tree.
Boy, yeah.
They're all showing up for that match someday.
Hey, Jacob Fatu.
Oh, I'd kill for that. I would kill. I would for that.
I mean, fans wouldn't know who he was yet, but it's a
doesn't
great
matter. We would.
We didn't know. They didn't know who Solo was that night.
Right.
He showed up in a hoodie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be sweet. And they could actually do that in one-on-one because they could say technically he's not – I mean, he's a member of the Bloodline, but he's not a member of the Bloodline. But, yeah, they could use that as a loophole.
What do you mean? He is, but he isn't.
He is, but he isn't because we haven't seen him yet.
Oh, sorry.
On TV. Yeah. You know? So do we want to talk about predictions? I feel like we're discussing a lot of this.
Do you guys want to do any of the Tony Khan, Eric Bischoff stuff?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Recap everything. You go ahead and recap what happened, Raj, and we'll discuss it.
All right, so Eric Bischoff's been doing a podcast called Strictly Business. It's not a separate feed. It's also on the 83 Weeks podcast channel. So if you subscribe to 83 Weeks, the Strictly Business thing shows up with it, with John Alba. And they announced last week that they're ending it, that they did their last show. Eric Bischoff, Tony Khan then at 4 a.m. in the morning, posted a tweet saying, sunsetting this fraud of a business podcast before the next AEW media deal is a wise choice. So Tony Khan just like going straight for the jugular. Obviously, Eric, you know, didn't take that laying down. He says a money mark with no talent other than spending daddy's money, going all the way to Canada, draw less than 4,000 in one of the hottest pro wrestling markets in North America, talking about wise choices. Strap in. It's going to be a fun day. And it's been, you know, Bischoff just been ripping Tony Khan a new one ever since.
Boy,
these guys, it's interesting. The former president of WCW, current president of AEW, just going at it.
So one thing I don't like is, you know, how Tony said that, putting down the show. I get he doesn't like Eric. Eric's constantly crapping on AEW. If you're Tony, right? You're like, this guy constantly craps on our show and talks negatively. Tony said some things about him too, to be fair. And putting down WCW, the last true real rival of WWE, the only company ever beat it ever of all time. Okay. And so I see both sides. I do. But 4 a.m., you know, there needs to be a thing on Twitter that just right. stops somebody. This app would make so much money. Somebody out, a game developer out there, you need to develop this app that is an inter app with Twitter somehow, or X, whatever the hell you call it today, that prevents somebody, or at least saying, are you sure you want to send this? Somehow, through AI technology, something. So people would save themselves embarrassment or writing something maybe they don't want to write. And they can't take it back, or maybe you could, because I don't understand how Twitter necessarily works. Maybe you could delete it. I don't know. I just know you can't. Okay, well, there you go. But by you put it out there, it's already photo, you know, people take pictures of it already and screenshot. Right. So here's my thing. Okay, it was a 4 a.m. That's number one. number two, I don't like what he said about it, he being Tony Khan, because I like John Alba. I got a lot of respect for him. He's an Emmy Award-winning news reporter. He worked in Central Florida. He's as legit gets in the world of reporting and covering important stories. And the fact, like, he's living out his dream. He loved wrestling, always loved being a part of it, right? And has that really successful podcast. I would listen to that show more than I would listen to 83 Weeks because I liked the avenue they would go down specific to the business. They'd always be talking about the numbers and breaking it down behind the numbers, if you will, then digging deeper. And I always appreciated that because getting Eric's, you know, take and what they did back in the day when he was at WCW. I know it's a lot different than it is today, but still being able to hear those stories of how they would sign certain deals, sponsorships, things like that. It was a really cool look behind, really deep behind the curtain on the financial side, if you will, on that podcast specifically. Strictly business. I was a fan of that podcast. So, I mean, I don't know why you say that, because again, there's, I get what's Eric's the star, if you will, of that podcast, but there's a co-host as well that you just threw right under the bus and you didn't care, Tony, because your hatred is so much for Eric. That I didn't think that was cool.
Yeah, I was a guest on their podcast last year, and I thought John and Eric both did an outstanding job with the questions that they were asking, you know, like.
That's cool. I thought I was a fan of the show. I thought I've seen, I didn't know you were on it.
Yeah, like a year ago. Yeah.
Very cool, Ron.
Yeah, I was talking about running a wrestling website, selling it, you know, the wrestling website business. So I thought it was a really fun chat, and I thought they did a great job. I feel like Eric and Tony Khan both kind of underappreciate the accomplishments of the other. Tony is the current president of a company, and I think when you're the president of a company, you got to be, you know, you got to take the high road with stuff like this. In my opinion, you don't have to. I remember. You know, back in the day, Vince McMahon being a madman, you know, slapping papers out of Bob Costas's hand, and you know, you know, I don't, you know, so I didn't condone that either. I thought that was embarrassing, but I just feel like, you know, Tony Khan, it would, I feel like he should, be the bigger person.
Can I just say something? What's he being the bigger person of? Did Eric do something specifically that day to, you know, tie him in knots or something, like to make him pissed off?
Do you know where this all started? I know a lot of people are like, Bischoff wants a job with AEW. That's not it at all. Where it all started, they were actually got along well. Tony Khan was even on Bischoff's podcast before.
Oh, wow.
And a couple of years ago, he was on 83 Weeks, maybe 3 years ago. Where it went south was in an interview, Tony Khan took shots at Ted Turner. And he said something like, if Ted Turner knew wrestling like I knew wrestling, that WCW would still be in business. And Eric took that really personally. You know, he obviously has a ton of respect for Ted Turner. I mean,
sure.
Ted Turner's influence on wrestling is gigantic.
Yes, it is. Of course it is.
Yeah. And look, Tony Khan, his shows are on Turner Networks. You know, right. Obviously Ted's not a part of it anymore since the AOL Time Warner merger. But,
right.
You know, so I think Eric just lost all respect for Tony after that and has just been no holes barred with this criticism of with AEW, whereas he wasn't before. He would, you know, kind of pick his battles and not call out what AEW was doing wrong as much. So
there's two ways to cover AEW, in my opinion. You're covering it as somebody that wants to see it successful and really actually mean you wanted to see it right. successful versus those that love burying it. And they say they want to see it successful, but right. they really undercover don't want it to be successful. There's right. That's what I see through my lens when I watch and listen to these podcasts. So with that said, it's even more important, though. I get what Tony's doing. He wants to take up for his company and things like that. But there wasn't a shot fired. There was no reason for him to retaliate by putting down that show.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because, again, my opinion, John, my friend, the other co-host of that show, he's a part of that, right? So you're crapping on him, too. Like, you need to do that. There's other ways you could have went about that. Mm-hmm. Well, wait for him to go off on you guys again. Wait for Eric to crap on the product again. Now you got your opening to respond.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, between, I can tell you with 83 weeks, the viewership and listenership of 83 weeks is much closer to Dynamite than anyone would possibly ever guess. And well, it's probably better than Rampage or Collision on a few weeks out of the year.
Are you talking about just the audio podcast or are you including the YouTube?
I'm including YouTube, but all Conrad's stuff, the YouTube is like, if you look, don't base your assumption of how big it is off YouTube. Those are audio first shows right. that have a YouTube yeah. component. But no, but it does, even then it seems petty though. You know what I mean? It's like,
right. I think that's the thing. It just comes across as petty. And you know, what you were saying, Matt, you nailed it 100%. There are some people that say they want AEW to do well and don't really, you know, like us, we really do want AEW to do well. It has caused everyone to up their game. It makes everything better.
Raj got much more money selling Wrestling Inc. because AEW.
I mean, it does help website traffic, right? You went from like one night, basically a week of yes. stuff going on with Raw, because SmackDown was always taped. And now you got five nights, basically, yep. you know, Thursday with Impact as well. So it's or six nights with Collision now on Saturday.
And they provide a place for the boys and girls to go to if it doesn't work out in WWE or they don't want to go to WWE. Okay, to not just go to a secondary company and make money. Right. He's paying them back. He's backing up the Brinks truck. Okay,
and he's beating them with a lot of free agents.
Yes, that Will Ospreay was a very big sign as we continue to see week in and week out. Everything that kid touches, I think, is gold. I love everything he does. By the way,
Ospreay, Okada, and Mercedes. I do got to mention this. The ratings have not been good. The last few weeks. And actually, and again, ratings not been good for what Dynamite usually does. They did one of their worst ratings just this last Wednesday. It was, again, number three on cable for that night behind the NBA. But still, for what it usually does, its usual numbers, it was its second worst 18 to 49 rating in show history in its regular time slot. And its lowest audience in its regular time slot since NXT moved to Tuesday nights. It did 747,000 viewers and a 0.23 18 to 49 rating. So.
Okay, so when people crap on it and then they say, the number went down and the ratings are this or that. Like I said in the past, that doesn't make me not want to watch the show. It doesn't be like, you know what? I'm going to make fun of if I watch a show because the ratings sucked last week. No, I'm a fan. I'm still going to watch. Mm-hmm.
It's weird that you know what AEW fan or you know what wrestling fans don't do that every other TV audience does though. It's what? Like Quantum Leap ratings went down of the new one when it came back from the break. They moved it to like Tuesdays at 10, which was just an awful slot. And it was on at 8 and it was doing like 3 million views an episode. And then it went down to like 1.5, 1.7. When you get a low rated TV show, fans normally band together and be like, oh, we should tweet at people and tell them they should cover it. We should be, you know, telling people to watch it. Like they get into street team mode, but like with AEW fans and WWE fans, just everyone just fighting online.
Yes.
About shit. Like it's kind of weird.
It's like MCU and DC comic fans with box office returns. It's not necessarily TV ratings, but with box office returns with those movies. So, yeah, it kind of happens, you know, along different different genres, just different ways.
Yeah, but you should think that, I don't know, maybe I'm just a huge mark for the things that I love. But it's like, I mean, okay, maybe AEW fans do this, but they don't talk about it. But I'm like, okay, with Quantum Leap, I was watching it live. I would put the DVR on. I would go on Peacock and stream it there. Like, why aren't we seeing more positive, like, here's what we can do to help the show, rather than, like, let's just fight with everyone, you know, or talk about the demo and stuff. I don't get
that. Well, that's Twitter in general and X and social media. People are just fighting all the time on that thing, even if outside of wrestling. So, that's just society nowadays.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. I was off social media for most of the last week. I mean, I would just browse.
It's refreshing,
it.
Right?
It was nice. It was very nice. Busy doing real life stuff, driving around Los Angeles. I went to the Grammy Museum. They've got an exhibit that should make us all feel old. They had the 50 years of hip hop exhibit at the Grammy Museum, which was
50. Wait, we're in 50. Oh, wow.
At least we're all younger than hip hop.
Yeah. It started in the 70s. So yeah, that makes, oh geez, we're going to be 50 soon.
I know. Well, I was saying to one of my team who's our age, I was saying, we're the last generation where hip hop was new. Computers were new. Video games were new. Everyone after us just grew up with that being the norm, you know?
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. It's crazy. Okay. Let's talk about some Mania predictions.
Yes.
Quick. Want to get this, just from J.R. Smith, $5 super chat saying, thanks for taking time away from your families to stream tonight. Can't wait for WrestleMania. Uh-huh. Ian and I hope you enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Thank you so much, J.R.
J.R., a shout out to Ian. And is this J.R.? This has to be J.R. Smith, the NBA player, right? Or former NBA player. No, you guys suck. This is why I wish you guys were sports fans. Sometimes you'd get my jokes.
But happy Easter to everyone.
Yeah, yes.
Absolutely. Thank you. I mean, we're at almost 300 people watching live. We appreciate all of you on this Easter Sunday. So
and that's again. Real watchers, not this weird Twitter X inflation thing that's happening with view numbers. Like, this is real, pure YouTube.
Oh,
numbers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, Matt and Raj, we should hook up the gigantic pop channel to all of our X accounts so we can get those inflated numbers as well. But anyhow, let's talk about some Mania predictions. Right now, 12 matches are official for Mania for the two-night event. Let me open this up and see what we got.
And real quick, while you're looking that up, they're also going to do the Final Testament versus Lashley and the Street Profits. So, got to think Lashley and the Street Profits are winning there.
He just cuts his hair, the curse will be broken.
Don't really care about that match, though. Yeah.
No, I'm like, this is why they made such a big deal. The Authors of Pain were like secretly re-signed for a year. Cross got that rebrand after him and Scarlett weren't really doing anything except that tarot card gimmick. They brought in Ellering. Like, they got a push. They did get a push, and it's just it always bums me out when pushes go nowhere, you know?
But moving on to the old card.
The Mania.
We can kind of go quickly through some of those undercards.
Sure. Well, okay, so LWO, Rey Mysterio, and Dragon Lee versus Santos Escobar and Dirty Dominic Mysterio.
Babyface is over.
Yeah, agreed.
That'll be fun. That'll be a fun match.
Yeah, I think by bringing in Dragon Lee, you can't have him lose already. They kind of made it, you know, when he announced Dragon Lee as his, unless you have Carlito turn on Dragon Lee at Mania.
Could happen, right? Carlito's getting big reactions. They need to do something with him.
And he wasn't happy when Ray picked Dragon Lee over. So I like that part of the story.
Okay, what about Logan Paul versus Randy Orton and Kevin Owens for the United States Championship?
I want Logan to still go over.
Yeah.
But prediction, what will happen? I think Logan still somehow wins.
I'm going to go, I think it's either Logan or Kevin Owens. Randy Orton's kind of working more limited right now. A lot of tag matches.
He doesn't need that title.
Exactly. So I'm going to go Logan, but I might change that prediction depending on what happens on TV this week.
Okay. Mm.
I want to see LA Knight take that off Logan Paul.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that'll be a more triumphant victory.
He's overdue for that secondary type of title.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Long.
No,
overdue.
I agree. So we'll get to that in a second. But Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, and Naomi versus Damage Control, Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane.
Don't even finish any of it. Just Jade Cargill.
Hey,
Jade Cargill.
Pinning somebody.
Jade's pinning all three at the same damn time.
Okay. I was going to say Asuka. Asuka would be the big win for her, but I'll go with all three.
This has got to be the most obvious one of the entire show, I think. Right?
Yeah.
This is when the odds come out, it's going to be like minus 1,200 to one. Jade's team.
And I don't know. Jade's team will definitely win, but Jade specifically will be the one who takes the pin. But here's the thing. When somebody like a big star comes in WWE back in the day, again, back in the day when this was under Vince's leadership, they would make, like Taz, they would make certain stars eat ish and humble them and break them down to supposedly build them back up again, which I always never agreed with, that they wouldn't eventually build them back up. They would say they would, but they really didn't. You know what I mean? So I think, because he ain't in the picture, that they'll do the right thing and Jade will have a monster win.
Right. Yeah. I remember Jericho had to eat it, you know, after he came in, even though he had a super hot debut.
Yeah.
They moved him down that card really fast. But again, this is a Triple H's WWE. And I think it's going to be a little different now.
Yeah. Yep.
Thank God.
Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso.
Ooh. So Jey has. Right, we got to keep track of baby faces and heels so far. Who's been getting wins on this card that we're predicting? Because haven't we predicted the first few matches except for Logan to win?
Yeah,
right?
baby face. Yeah.
So, go ahead, Raj. You do it first.
Well, Jay seems kind of obvious because he's higher on the card, right? Like he's one of the top stars on Raw. While Jimmy is just in the background, he's not really a top guy. So I feel like Jimmy needs that win more. So I'm going to
wouldn't it help him?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, right? I think so.
Okay,
I think outside interference.
Sure, definitely. Bloodline screws it up somehow again ad nauseum for the 55,000th time. Jimmy gets to go around bragging that he beat main event Jey Uso.
Yeah. And also it plays in that storyline, casting doubt for later for Cody, because you're like, oh, the bloodline costing, you know,
one
Jay
up.
Again.
1-0.
Yep.
Rub 1-0. You paying attention, mm-hmm. Cody and stuff? Yeah.
Defeat the yeet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No yeet.
LA Knight versus AJ Styles.
Duh.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
LA Knight needs to be smashed over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what about the Judgment Day versus DIY versus the Awesome Truth versus the New Day versus A-Town Down Under versus New Catch Republic?
Oh, New Catch Republic, for sure. what a catchy, cool name. I don't care, but Judgment Day, for sure, right? Judgment Day?
No, I think R-Truth. Okay, the centerpiece of that story is going to be R-Truth and Judgment Day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And if they want to feel good, they give it to them.
Feel
but
good.
I could see them going with Austin and Waller.
I guess I don't care. I'm not moved anyway. Whichever way that this goes,
I think Awesome Truth. I think it just our truth has been really over lately. So I could see them doing that. And especially if Drew doesn't resign and Damian Priest is winning the world title anyway, they want to get the tag titles off of him. So mm-hmm. Awesome Truth.
Okay. I mean, I think that's the feel-good moment. Mm-hmm. Gunther versus Sami Zayn for the Intercontinental Championship.
Sammy.
Oh, Sammy you're taking? Yeah? Okay. I'm going to say Gunther. Yeah. I'm going to say Gunther.
I mean, this is like Charlie Brown in the football. Like, Sammy getting the singles win for the IC title at Mania? Like, I mean...
Does he... Okay, but isn't this still a step down for him, even if he wins?
Mm. I mean,
he was
clear they're not. I know.
Precipice of being our world champion, dude. Like, he was right there.
But he's been far from that.
Yeah, they don't see him as that, which is unfortunate.
I think that'll be a huge reaction when Sammy wins. Plus, they're going to be in Montreal a couple weeks after that.
Oh, will they? Okay.
So they'll make him lose it in Montreal.
Right. If it was Vince's WWE.
Yes. I'm sticking with Gunther.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So next we have Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch for the Women's World Championship on Raw.
Rhea Ripley.
Rhea Ripley. And yeah. So another one for the heels, a title match, a big match. Rhea Ripley. And I'd like to see her kind of dominate, like get a really decisive win. Because she's been so over.
Yeah. On the SmackDown side, Bayley challenging Io Sky for the championship.
Bayley.
Bayley.
Yeah. No, I agree.
They've done a really good job with that storyline.
Very and good.
Then the Bloodline, The Rock and Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes and Seth freaking Rollins in a tag match night one, which everyone thought was crazy when I predicted that 6 weeks ago, but it's happening.
Folks, I don't remember him ever saying this. Do you ever remember him saying this? I'm joking. That's going to drive him nuts. I'm joking. He did.
He never did.
He did. So did Raj. But let me just point this out. I do think Bloodline wins this. I think they have to win it.
I agree. Here's what I think happens. I think Solo nails Cody with the spike. Rock hits Cody with the rock bottom. He's going for the pin. Then Roman looks at Rock. He's like, tag me in. I'm the tribal chief. And they do that whole thing.
Ooh.
Rock tags in Roman. Roman gets the pin. And you got a little tension between Rock and Roman.
I'd say 1-2, kick out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then figure a way to get there. And it starts to beef between Rock and Roman. But nonetheless, in my opinion, Cody's got to keep fighting from underneath. Mm-hmm. And what better way to fight underneath and know he's got to go into Mania Night 2 in a lot of sea of doubt, because now it's Bloodline rules. Anything can go. He's got to get through 4 or 5 dudes essentially to win this match.
Yeah,
on Night 2, which adds to the story. So definitely Bloodline wins.
And Cody and then, takes the pin, right? Cody takes the pin.
Cody needs to take the pin and he needs to get eviscerated. Like, that's why I was surprised Rock did what he did last week. I thought we would get that blood at Night 1 of Mania, where they go off the air with Cody and a pile of his own blood. Maybe they do it again.
Yeah.
Hmm. No, absolutely. Then Night 2, we got Seth versus Drew for the World Heavyweight Championship with Priest lingering with the briefcase.
Wait, so would you say Seth versus
Drew? Seth versus Drew.
And Night 1 or 2?
No, Night 2. And then Seth. And
I
then
thought it was Priest Night 1.
No, Seth and Drew was Night 2, which is why.
Well, Seth and Drew loses.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Night 2 because the Seth's tag match, Seth and Cody as a
is
tag.
Night 1.
Oh.
Which is why if Seth loses Night 2, he's going to blame Cody and cost him the championship. But we'll talk about that more in a minute.
Okay. Drew wins somehow.
Yeah.
I think CM Punk is going to be on commentary during this match. So he's definitely going to be involved somehow. Again, if Drew hasn't resigned, I think Seth wins, Damian Priest cashes in. So Damian Priest at the end.
Huh.
That's my prediction right now.
Okay. And then the main event, potentially the finish of the story, Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns for the WWE Undisputed Universal Championship.
Cody Rhodes.
I agree. I think this match is going to be nuts. There's going to be tons of interference. I wouldn't be surprised to see Steve Austin appearance. You know, Triple H is all about wanting to make the fans happy, and that would be insane. And doing Austin and The Rock, that'll be everywhere, right? That'll be on ESPN, SportsCenter. They'll get just tons of coverage for that. So I think a lot of chicanery, and Cody wins.
Tomfoolery shenanigans.
Yes, hijinks. No, here's my hope.
Will there be Falderall?
Maybe a touch of grab ass. But my sincerest hope is that we don't get the Cody Homelander thing again. I want him to come out in the Rocky trunks, preferably with Stallone, accompany him to the ring. And let's do this right in Philly.
My prediction is Stallone does the voiceover for the opening video package.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
And Cody best visit those Rocky steps and run through the streets of Philadelphia.
I think that'll be too cheesy.
Everything he's doing right now feels over rehearsed at the moment. He needs to stay away from these, you know, overly memorized and hokey promos they're putting him in. Like, he needs to get grimy. Well, Matt, what's more grimy than you're thinking of Rocky, the actual character Rocky at the time, being that baby face in his gray sweats, right? And running through the streets and, you know, just passing the dude by the fruit stand, yeah. And then everyone following him. And my ain't thing no sunshine, going down.
Ain't no sunshine and rainbows. Like, let's just get the story in there, man.
But Cody's being put in all these contrived scenarios with being verbal, promo-wise. I don't know.
Okay.
So we don't go
downtown Philly, the department store for Mannequin, and the ghost of Meshach Taylor shows up as a character Hollywood and gives Cody a talk going to Mania, because I would also pop for that.
Only
rest
like
in peace, Meshach Taylor.
The three of us are the only ones right now that are on the air right now that are even understanding any of that. Right?
Everybody understands the Hollywood from Mannequin reference. But okay. So that's the main event. We'll see what happens. It's going to be exciting. Yeah. We're going to be here three times and maybe more this week. Who knows? Maybe we'll have some interviews. Who knows?
Yeah. It'll be a fun week. So yeah, stay tuned. Hit that bell, you know, that gets you the notifications for, because we might be doing one tomorrow night. Who knows? Tomorrow night is kind of the last one in a lot of ways, because tomorrow night you're going to have Cody, Rock, Roman. None of them are going to be on SmackDown on Friday night. So yeah. And they're loading the show up. Normally I would predict that the rating would be huge, but they are going against that Hawkeyes game, and Caitlin Clark has just been a phenomenon. So they're going to be up against that game. That game is going to do monster numbers.
Is that the LSU game? LSU versus Iowa? I think it is. That was a national. They're now in the Elite Eight. So yes, it's LSU, dude. LSU is frigging nasty. They're so good. Versus Iowa, that's going to do monster ratings. That game, monster, more than what they just saw with Caitlin Clark's game last week. I'll guarantee it.
Nice. Yeah. So we got some super chats here. Oh, and some good ones. Harris, first off, saying my pick: Roman Rock, Drew wins, then Priest cash in, then screws Drew. LA Knight, Rhea Ripley, Ms. Truth, Gunther, Bailey, Logan. That's not bad.
There we go, Harris Gallant.
Ian Smith, $5, saying, okay, does this mean I'm cheating on Issa? Hey, Issa's cool. We have an understanding. She's cool. I wish we wanted to have Issa for Stand and Deliver next week, but I remembered she's going to be at Mania, so she's going to be at Stand and Deliver. But maybe she'll join us at FaceTime in, and I guarantee you if Roman wins Sunday, she's gonna do a run-in, laughing her ass off. And it'll be amazing. Terrence Witted, $99, saying, what are the After Mania surprises this year?
Gosh, who, like, as far as NXT there? Call-ups, are any ones that would be like
Carmelo Hayes?
But he's already been called
He's already been called up.
That's true.
Trick Williams, as far as a wrestler?
Okay, maybe Trick.
Yeah. They're main eventing Stand and Deliver, by the way.
Yeah.
As they should.
That's going to go on last?
Yeah, it's going to go on last.
They should be.
And there's talk, there has been talk, if you believe what you read out there, that they might continue their rivalry up onto the main roster. Because it's been such an effective storyline.
So why not? See.
And then Matt here, a wrestling enthusiast, saving this one for you. Hey, Matt, do you accept fan mail? I have a very cool unreleased Jack's Pacific figure of you that I would love to send out to you.
Yeah, absolutely. My City of Longwood address, City of Longwood, City Hall. Care of or attention, Matt Morgan, whatever you put. If you want to just send that's a public address, so you can send it there. It'll be put in my mailbox. I'll get it and I'll be able to mail it back to you. Yeah, no problem, dude. Of course.
I want that moment when you're in the office in City Hall and they're like, oh, Mr. Mayor, we have this mail for you, and you're opening it up and it's like, what's that? And you're like, oh, it's an action figure of me.
Dude, they do it all. I get all these wrestling cards. Nice. My city clerk brings me, like, before each commission meeting, she'll give me, like, the mail that I hadn't gotten yet that week for whatever reason. And there's always bunches of wrestling cards. I'll always do it because I was that kid that was sending out to get autographs of my favorite NBA players, wrestlers, baseball players, and football players. I still have a huge autograph collection. So I'll never say no. I'll never say no.
Real quick, Matt, did you send Hulk Hogan a letter after he got those earthquake splashes from Earthquake when they had that big letter writing campaign?
Of course I did, but I'll do one better. I did it when Bundy did it to him first, and he had taped ribs.
Wow.
It was heartbreaking.
Dylan Matthews.
I was in real fear of Bundy Mania.
Yes. chat room moderator Dylan Matthews wants to know, what does Heyman do after Mania if Roman drops?
He stays with Roman.
It's a good question, though. Does he? Because The Rock don't need him, no, right? Yeah.
It'd be like when Brock is lost in the past. Heyman still stays with him. I'd like to see Heyman have someone else added on to that stable. I just don't know who's the right fit.
He could do a lot with Solo.
Yeah. Solo, I feel like they wasted that John Cena win. Like, they had Solo kill. They had Solo look like Brock Lesnar when he killed John Cena. And then he's done nothing since. He just loses every match.
Anyway. Roman, I don't know, people talking about how small they're making look Roman in this, all of this stuff with Rock too, by the way.
Yeah.
Like Roman and the Rock was so up here. He still is, but like Rock just invented a brand new category all the way up here now. Do you know what I mean? Like Roman was the guy. And it's just, I don't know. I'm excited to have Rock back. He's doing great work. We all love it. We're all entertained as hell. But at the same time, it's really minimizing Roman. I'm just surprised they're not doing more for Roman. That promo he had with Seth, that he had with Cody on, was it SmackDown? Last week's SmackDown?
The debate.
He needed something bigger than what they gave him in that segment.
It was too reasoned. It seemed like they were having an intellectual argument, which was funny, but not. And there's a girl, NYC Demon Diva, saying, Roman is not dropping at Mania. Ask realistic questions.
It's gonna happen. Get ready.
Speaking of Roman, so Monday night he's gonna be on Raw, first Raw appearance in a long time, and then Wednesday night Rock and Roman Reigns are both gonna be on Jimmy Fallon. They're gonna be on Fallon together, so hopefully Rock doesn't overshadow Roman on Fallon, and they kind of both, you know.
Seriously, it's a real thing, and I don't.
Yeah,
I am entertained as hell by Rock again. I'll say it a million times. So I'm not trying to crap on him when I say this. I'm just saying, like, Roman has been the top dog. And you brought him here 3 years of being the top guy, and it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. He just keeps getting better and better. I just don't like that they've kind of made him an afterthought, and he's in the shadow. I don't like that.
Do you think, as a WrestleMania 1 tribute, The Rock puts Jimmy Fallon in a front chin lock?
When the poor guy's rooting on the ground? No.
With how big The Rock's arms are too, they're like way bigger than Hogan's were back then. So
probably.
Yeah.
So, and everyone's saying Roman is advertised for Friday, which kind of makes sense with Hall of Fame.
I haven't seen that.
I don't know.
Only Drew is saying that. So
okay.
All right.
You know, there's rumblings out there. That's all you have to say. People are saying. Ooh, well, Drew's saying. You know?
All right.
Imvish getting in down to the wire saying Cody wins WrestleMania. Will he bring in new audiences post Mania?
Wait, what? Will
Cody bring in new audiences post Mania?
You know, the post Mania Raw has kind of sucked for the last several years. This is their year. They're going to have a lot of new viewers with The Rock and everything. And this is their year to make Cody that star, that baby face, the night after Mania, and make him the important guy on the show and go with the Cody era. So it all depends on what they do that Monday.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll be here. Look for us to do some stuff this week. And then Saturday, Stand and Deliver. Saturday, WrestleMania Night 1. Sunday, WrestleMania Night 2. Please, please subscribe. Want to get those numbers up there so we can keep hopefully bringing you some interviews and some more great content. Appreciate all the Super Chats. I think this is our record Super Chat show. You guys turned out tonight. Very, very impressed. Oh, there's Bigfoot Sneakerhead. There we go.
BFS.
Yes. Saying, if we were to see MJF on Monday Night Raw, would you be surprised? Asking.
Yes.
I would lose my mind, and I would be the happiest guy on the planet. Yes, I would love it.
It's not happy. I'm pretty sure that MJF is signed for several years with AEW.
According to him, you know.
I don't know why they keep going back to this storyline, because it's already been done.
Yeah.
But Thucker and Succotash, Cody, do you remember that promo?
MJF is so great.
He's the best. I wanted him there so bad. But I do worry, would WWE be smart enough to use him as himself? Yeah, right?
I think now, you look at what they're letting The Rock get
That's
away
true.
With.
That's true.
They're loosening the reins with talent and promos right now.
Which they should be doing if the talent is good enough to do it, a la Punk, Rollins, and Drew.
Yeah.
Yeah. 10 subscriptions away from 3,000 subscribers.
Come on, you guys. How are you watching this far into the podcast at this point in time and you've not subscribed? Come on.
Drive Raj nuts.
So close. 10.
I don't have any semblance of a clue what the difference of 10 is, but I know these two do and I trust them. So please, come on, guys. I need you.
Okay. Hey, everybody. He's at BP Matt Morgan. He's at the Raj Geary. I'm at Glenn Rubenstein. Everybody, please have a great week. We're going to see you before you know it. Happy WrestleMania week. And we'll catch you back here next time on Gigantic Pop.
Happy Easter. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.